Why don't you just sit back, kick off your slippers, pour you a cup of tea or a glass of milk or hot coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us tonight. I'd like to talk on the subject, how and where are we to give our testimony? And beloved, this is one of the most important things that you can do. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to know a whole lot about the Bible, but you have to know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you can't testify. But if you know him, you can. Why would you testify of Jesus? Because you're happy for what he did for you. In Isaiah 62:6, in your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen all day and all night. They will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourself. You're supposed to, testify increasingly and always. Talk to people. Talk about. You say, well, Cecil, you know what? I'm kind of timid. Well, you ask the Lord to overcome your timidity, okay? He'll do it if you really mean business. Now, we're supposed to testify in our homes, and this is where the rub comes, beloved. Talking to your own folks is the hardest witnessing you're ever going to do. I read in Mark 5:18, as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was entreating him that he might accompany him. And he did not let him, but he said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. Oh, listen, that man was full of demons, and when Jesus and disciples came ashore on the island of Gadara, Jesus saw this man, cast out the demons, saved his soul. Now the next scene is Jesus and his disciples are going back in the ship to go somewhere else, and Jesus looked back there, and there that guy was paddywhacking behind him. And Jesus said, where are you going? Oh, Lord, he said, I want to follow you. He said, you know what I want you to do. You go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord hath done for you and how he had mercy on you. You know, I told you I was an alcoholic for many years, and aboard my ship, I was on the USS Gage, APA-16. I hope some of my shipmates are listening tonight. They're all over the United States. But anyway, the men knew that I was an alcoholic, and I wasn't bad, but I was an alcoholic. And you know, when I went to several of our ship reunion, those men would come up there, and they'd look at me, and, well, you look the same, but you're not the same. No, I'm not the same Cecil that you used to know, because now I have a Savior. My life has been changed. God has removed the heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh. And I'll tell those men how much God loves them and how much I love them. I don't know how many books and films and movies I've sent out to my shipmates and my classmates. I've led several of my classmates to Christ, the class of 42 in the Dalles, Oregon. It's a joy. It's a job that everyone can do that's been born again. Now, do you know, folks, he did not give that job to angels. Because angels can't witness. Angels can't tell you about Jesus. That's left up to people just like you and me. Well, you say, but Cecil, you know, I really don't know much about the Bible. Well, listen, here's what he says in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. He will endue us with power. He'll give you the words to say if you're letting him. See, the Holy Spirit lives in a born-again person's heart, and he wants you to be able to share. He don't want you to be embarrassed. Somebody told me, well, Cecil, I don't know enough about the Bible. Well, if you can learn John 3:16 and you've been born again, you got enough equipment, you can go out and lead a soul to Christ or witness for Christ. Well, you know, Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Here old Paul was in prison before they whacked his head off, and boy, he witnessed every place. You know what I loved about Paul? I don't care if it's before a king or in a synagogue or the little man on the street. He'd say, one day on that road, a great light appeared out of heaven. And I heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecutest me? And he said, and Paul said, and Saul said, who are you, Lord? He knew who he was. You see, Saul really thought that by destroying Christianity in the church, he was doing God a great big old favor. Well, he was dead wrong. Oh, but listen, when Saul got saved and God changed his name to Paul, he turned the world literally upside down. He sold out to God. You know what? He wasn't one of these money-begging preachers. You know what he did? If he was out and preaching, he ran out of funds. You know what he'd do? He'd buy some tent material. He'd make, he's a tent maker, by the way. He'd make a tent, sew it up, sell it, and take the money and go on. Did you know how I supported my ministry all my life? I roofed. And I was a good roofer, too. Of course, I'm paying for it now. I can't walk. My knees are so bad. But, oh, Fred, that's the way I preached. You know how much my church paid, how much my church paid me in 1961? $100 a month. That's all I ever got. And I had to go out and work because I had five kids, and I had to go out and work. I didn't feel bad about it. I was happy to do it. But, friends, let me tell you what happened. I'd say about a year after I was saved. I was over in North Seattle, and I was just a-slapping on shingles, probably singing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And all of a sudden, it was just like God said, shut your mouth and listen to me. And I knew God had spoken to my heart. And I said, Lord, what do you want for my life? God said, I want you to be a preacher. Oh, for heaven's sake, not me, not Cecil Moe, an old converted drunk. No one wants to hear a... But you know what? I said, Lord, if you really mean it, here's my heart, lock, stock, and barrel. You know, I could picture myself going in a great big church, and this choir was singing this big anthem, and I had my Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and I pulled up in that pulpit, and I opened that book, and I began to preach unto Jesus. But you know what happened? He sent me back to Skid Row where he found me. He didn't want me in those big fancy churches. There's nothing wrong with the church. I don't mean that. But he sent me back where he could use me. See, I can sit down with an old alcoholic all day and talk with him. I just received a phone call 11 o'clock the other night from a lady who lives in down in Virginia. Her husband is a commander in the Navy, a pilot. She's an alcoholic. She said, Cecil, I've got all the security a woman could want. I've got two kids, a wonderful husband, a swimming pool, a fancy sports car. But I'm so unhappy. I said, you know why? Because I said, you don't let Jesus have his way in your life. Now, friends, I'm not going to be stupid enough to sit up on this broadcast and say, well, once you're saved, you'll never have problems. You'll never have any sickness. You'll never have financial. Bull. Yes, you will. Oh, yes, you will. Hey, if we didn't know... If we didn't have problems, how would we know that God can solve them? You see what I mean? Oh, friends, tell people, you know what? Maybe you got cancer and maybe God healed you from it, and now you got to help people with cancer. Do you know when I was going to Bible college back in 1956 or 7? My memory's not that good. I'm 81 years old. Give me a break. But anyway... I tell you right now, I couldn't understand all these things. I had a lung tumor, and the doctors gave me up to die, and I was scared. Man, I was only 31 years old, and I remember getting down on my knees and I'm saying, Lord, I know you have power to heal, and I'm trusting you, Lord, that you'll make me well because I want to go on and preach. And they gave me up to die. But you know, God did heal it. No, I didn't go to a healing meeting. I didn't go to man. I went to the healer, Jesus. He's the one that heals, beloved. Yes, he does. But now listen, don't get mad at him if he don't heal you right away. Because you know, sometimes God won't heal you. Maybe it's not God's will that he heals us. That's right. It may not be God's will. But he can. There's nothing that God cannot do. But you know what I ask you to do? Go to him. Tell him. You say, Cecil, I'm out of work. Well, tell him you need a job. You need something. Ask him. Just ask him. Don't demand. But Lord, I need a job, or I need this, or I need that. He loves to hear his children. That's why we talk about a personal relationship with a personal Christ. It is personal. We may come boldly before the throne of grace, according to the Bible. Well, friends, listen. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and in reverence." So, you know, I rest. I have three men and a preacher. We go to a restaurant every Friday for lunch. We witness to those waiters and waitresses. We witness to the man. I let a lady of the Lord right there at the table one time. Introduced her. She prayed this sinner's prayer. Friends, we don't know where or when or how, but we're supposed to be willing and be ready, just ready right now to share. I only had 10 minutes to speak in a big state prison in Colorado, so boy, I had to hurry. So I only had just a few minutes to share my testimony. A man came up to me and said, "You know what? I hated God until tonight when you said that your stepmother used to beat you and lock you in a basement in the dark." He said, "My mama used to do that to me, but you forgave your stepmother and told her you did. So tonight I'm asking God to forgive me, and I've forgiven my mother." Oh, see, you don't have to speak very long, but you share, and people will be listening. People want to hear what you got to say about Jesus. You say, "Cecil, you know what? I haven't been doing that, and I am a Christian. I'm born again, but I haven't been. I've been talking about my church and my preacher. I haven't been talking enough about Jesus." Try talking about Jesus. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to restore the joy of your salvation to your heart. He wants to use you. I don't care if you're tall, skinny, fat, yellow, brown. Don't make a difference to him. He'll use you if you'll give him your heart. You say, "I'd like to pray tonight to receive Christ." Here's a prayer. "Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen." Listen at the end of the broadcast. The announcer will give you my email and give you my post office box. I'd love to hear from you. Send me your phone number so I can call you and talk to you. There's no charge. I do not write and ask people for money. I do not do that. And I've got a movie out, an hour and a half movie. I got two books that you can purchase. And the reason you do that is to help pay for my broadcast time and pray for my prison ministry. Well, friends, until this time next week, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.